You're listening to Catholic Chicago on WNDZ 750 AM. During the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago brings you programs about the people, events, and issues that touch our lives. Welcome to Catholic Chicago.
Your host this morning with my co-host, Jen Delvaux. Good morning, Jen.
Good morning.
We're both from the Office for Evangelization and Missionary Discipleship, and so we have with us this morning two very special guests in the studio, Sister Dominga Zapata. Good morning, Sister.
Good morning.
She's from the Society of Helpers, right? And
yes.
You are a coordinator of the Archdiocesan Quinto Encuentro. Okay, sure. I can say that. I'm going to have to say that. Elizabeth Roman also is with us. Good morning, Elizabeth.
Good morning.
And Elizabeth is the president of the National Catholic Council of Hispanic Ministry. Thank you both for getting up so early and being with us this morning. So we just wanted to talk to you a little bit about this, the Quinto Encuentro and what's been happening in the Archdiocese and what's happening nationally. But before we do that, Elizabeth, would you just share with us a little bit about what Encuentro is and its history?
Yes. Good morning to all our radio listeners, and thank you for the invitation to be here today. The Encuentro, it's an evangelization process that starts at the base. It's a grassroots. It starts in the parishes where we go. It's not a single event. Most people think it's an event. It is a process. It is to get the voices from the grassroots in the church, take them up to the bishops, and from there we get our, you know, plans and process for ministries with Hispanics. So it starts at the base, goes to the top, and then...
And so how does that work? What do you mean it starts at the base?
It starts with a consultation process in the parishes.
Okay.
And so it is...
Is it the small groups in the parishes?
It is groups in the parishes, yes, different groups in the parishes. And so there's a process, and there are questions, and they reflect on the questions.
There's like a whole book and manual, right, that they
there
go
is
through.
A manual.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. In the Archdiocese of Chicago, the process was the see, discern, and act process.
Okay.
And so we focused on three areas of the church in Hispanic ministry. We focused on the family.
Okay.
Our Archdiocesan Encuentro focused on the family. It focused on young adults.
Okay.
And from the ages of 18 to 35.
Okay.
And on the community of migrants.
Oh, okay.
And so when we had our Archdiocesan Encuentro on April 21st, those were the areas that, as Hispanics in the church, we discussed.
And so you
delegates
had
from the parishes.
From the parishes. So each of the parishes did this as well. And then that information came up for your event where you had the gathering where you talked about it. Is that how it worked?
Yes. Okay. That information was taken and put into what we call a working document.
Okay.
And those voices that we got from the parishes and from several organizations that participated in the Archdiocese outside of the parish, we took those voices, created a working document, and brought that to our Archdiocesan Encuentro, where we had the process to see where we are, to discern what is God telling us that we need to be doing, and as a church and as Hispanics, and to act. What are we going to do about this? So we take that information and we meet at a regional level. We meet with the diocese in Region 7. And then from there,
How many dioceses are a part of that?
I don't know how many dioceses are in Region 7.
Well, what area is it? The Middle States?
Yeah, it's like Ohio, Wisconsin, Illinois,
Indiana.
On Indiana.
Okay. Yes. All right.
And so that regional encuentro, we already have sent to them what came out of ours, okay. The voices and, you know, the results of our encuentro. We sent it to the regional coordinators, and we meet with them. We sent a delegation from the Archdiocese to meet there from June 8th to the 10th at Notre Dame University.
Okay.
And
so
we have 14 young adults delegates.
Oh, okay.
And then
great.
18 adults from the
wonderful.
Various.
Okay. Yeah. From our, just our diocese?
Yes.
Oh, we're sending 30
okay.
delegates.
For us.
Wow.
Yes. And then we're sending 30 delegates to the national encuentro, okay. which is September 20th to the 23rd. And at the national, every single diocese that has participated in the encuentro process will be present. They're expecting 3,000 delegates. We're sending 30. And there we meet with the bishop. So we've taken the voices that we received in the pews, and we've taken them to the regional, and then we take them to the national. And so from there, then the process is top down. Then we hear from the bishops. So it comes back down to the diocese and to the pews, to the parishes, where we're going to implement what
then,
comes out of this.
Yeah. The clarity is that it's not the individual bishop once he goes to the national level. It's the conference of bishops. Together they see what is happening and how we respond, how we ask them. It's guidelines so that each diocese then begin to take the orientation, and then we implement at the local level. And from the diocese, it goes to the parish.
So how long ago did this start? Like a year ago, 2 years ago?
Oh, no, it's going on 3 years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and when we reach the national encuentro, it will have been a 4-year process
okay.
throughout the entire United States.
Wow,
yes.
All right. So though Quinto means five. So
yes.
Is this the fifth
yeah.
one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tell them about that.
Yeah. We've had three, and the first three basically came from the Hispanic community in an effort. The focus was to integrate the Hispanic community into the total life of the Catholic Church in the
okay.
U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of it didn't happen, unfortunately, you know, and so here we have the fifth one. The fourth one was of multicultural and multigenerational church in the U.S., and it was the opening of the new millennium.
Oh,
and so
okay.
that was the fourth one. And then the fifth one.
Went back to Hispanic.
It went back to the Hispanics. Yes, we went back to the Hispanics. And so it centered on evangelization of Hispanic young, the focus. Majority is evangelization of Hispanic young adults in the church, because they are the majority of the church. 60% of Catholics under the age of 35 in this country in our church are Hispanic. And so it's focusing on that. That is why 1/3 of the delegation to all of the encuentros, whether it's diocesan, regional, or national, have to be young adults between the ages of 18 and 35. The focus is on future of the church and on their evangelization and their formation.
So, Sister, is this an invitation of the USCCB to do this, or where does the impetus come from for encuentro?
Yeah, all the encuentros had always been called, and it has to be called by the Conference of Bishops.
Got it.
And the same thing at the local level. The encuentro that we just finished here in Chicago had to be called by our cardinal.
So it's an invitation to find out what the needs are from the parish level, diocesan level, what's similar in the regional area, all the way to the national. Is
yeah.
that how it works?
Yeah. And the process of the encuentro, if it is not understood and it's looked as an event and then you forget about it,
mm-hmm.
it's a process. That's why it is a process of evangelization,
mm-hmm.
because the evangelization thrust has different levels. So that's what the connection in here. We could not just have a simple, just focus on Hispanic when the archdiocese, the rest of the archdiocese are in the thrust of Renew My Church. So our encuentro has to fit into that, because that's where we're going to live our results of our encuentro.
Well, Sister, that's a perfect segue. When we come back from our break, we'll continue the conversation and talk about the encuentro and Renew My Church.
I send you out.
I send you out.
On a mission of love. I send you out.
I send you out.
On a mission of love. I send you out.
I send you out.
On a mission of love. And know that I am with you always until the end of the world.
Do you have questions about the meaning of life, love, and sexuality? And how about inner peace, true happiness, and romantic relationships? What is the role of the church in all of this? And how does one come to an understanding of the deepest mysteries of the human heart? Come join us in a retreat called Echo Chicago this June, where we will address all of these great things and more. Hey everyone, my name is Ray Pingoy from the Respect Life Ministries of the Archdiocese of Chicago, and I want to invite you to Echo Chicago. This June, the Archdiocese of Chicago will host a Theology and Body Summer Camp for teens and young adults. We have partnered with Dumb Ox Ministries to present a week of prayer, fun, and immersion in the teachings of St. Pope John Paul II's Theology of the Body. This exciting camp will take place at St. Xavier University in Chicago, June 22nd to the 28th. Registration is still open. For more information, go to respectlifechicago.org or call 312-534-5355.
You don't know me. I was a nobody struggling on the Chicago streets, stopping in occasionally to get a meal at Catholic Charities. Now I'm an addiction counselor at Catholic Charities. They changed my life. I know the power of having someone believe in you. I'm grateful to be a part of Chicago's Good Samaritan offering hope for over 100 years. Care to help? Visit CatholicCharities.net.
Welcome back to A Mission of Love. This is Beth White, your host, and Jen DelVoe. We're speaking with Sister Dominga Zapata and Elizabeth Roman, who are both heading up the Quinto Encuentro process here in the Archdiocese.
Sister Dominga, you mentioned already a little bit before the break about how Encuentro can fit with the Renew My Church process and evangelization. Love to hear a little bit more about that.
If the Encuentro is an integration into the local church, so we have to connect because the whole archdiocese is going to this renewal church, and we have to see how do we fit in there. The first thing that we did is we have five topics. And what we did, we lined those topics into the seven vitality of the Renew My Church.
Wow.
And then further that, we're going into the process that the five topics of the National Encuentro and the seven vitalities mm-hmm. had to fit into the model of church that in 1985, approved by the National Council of the National Conference of Bishops, was approved. A definition for us, a renewed church, was a church that was communitarian, evangelizer, missionary, incarnated into the reality, and model and promoter of a social justice. And so those six steps is what really comes to developing the kingdom of God. So we're trying to integrate all those into what actually is the effect or should be the effect of the Encuentro in Renew My Church. When it gets to the fifth level, where it is then the action, because now they're working with the structure. So we have to be ready in there. This is where the community, Hispanic community, will contribute to renew our church here in Chicago. And so we have to look at how do we do that. First, we have to look and see what is it that we need to look at, and that's why we took the family. Without the family, it's clear that we could not have church nor society, because we have to look at the domestic, the change, the renewal church is going to have to begin in the domestic church. There's where vocations are going to come, good marriages, good priests, good religious, good lay people, all that. And so then we look at the young adult. The young adult is now the generation, but then the immigrant, the immigrant community here in Chicago, living in a city of sanctuary. We all have to, there are many things to tie it in together, but the thing is that we have to see that the focus of the Encuentro, the focus of renewing the church is not the church, it's the world. Jesus came to save the world, not to establish a church forever. You know, church is going to disappear when we get to heaven. All will be love, you know. So we have to see, how do we become a focus? What is happening in the world? And that's why I'm so excited that this week we're going to see the Pope is going to speak to us, not about churchy. He's going to speak about the world, you know. And so the evangelization has to be renewing the church, a church that focuses on the mission, not on the structures. In, you know, we tell the Hispanics all throughout the Encuentro, you have to get out. You're too comfortable warming those seats. You know, now summer is coming, so the seats will be warm. We have to go out into the cold world where there's isolation. And one thing that this Encuentro is blessed, because both from the national level, all the five topics came from Francis' orientation. But in here in Chicago, we took it even further, that we focus on three things. The Pope gave us that we have to develop a culture of Encuentro, not the process of the Encuentro pastoral, no, but Encuentro, where we have to meet. We live in a world that is isolation.
So a culture of encounter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that the only connection that we have, and especially our young people want to reach them, is the tech, you know. Mm-hmm. We relate. So we have to build that culture of where we meet one another eye to eye, share our vision, especially in a diocese like us, who are so multicultural, so multigenerational. We have to encounter, we have to come together. You know, the parish should be, my dream is that the parish that Renew My Church will build, that each parish is a community of communities. You know, so we have to build communities all around and then mix communities and all that. The other thing from Francis is he said, this is an opportune moment. That was the first thing he told us when he began. What is an opportune moment? Whatever it is, we have to look at the world. What is an opportune moment for the church to get and change that world? That's an opportune moment. We have to. And the second thing that the Pope says in terms of this is that this is a change of times, not time of change. Change happens by itself. It's a time of change. And what is that change? For me and for the process of the Encuentro, it seems that it is, we have to focus outside of ourselves. The church has a mission, not for itself. We have to nourish, you know, we do need to get together, and the temple is important, the sacrament, but it's to nourish. If we don't nourish ourselves, we have nothing to give. So that if we focus on what the Pope is saying, and now the film, we just light us for our regional Encuentro and our national Encuentro to bring that into it. What is he saying to us? Shake us, you know? And so I think
Sister
that basically
is referring
that,
to the film for
yeah,
the
to
Pope
the film.
That's,
yeah.
being released
yeah.
this week, right? Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. What's the name of the film?
It's Pope Francis, A Genuine Word.
A Genuine Word?
What is
it? Okay. Well, they're not prepared for this.
Got it. Pope Francis, a man of his word.
A man of his word.
So how do we emphasize that we listen to the word that he's saying?
Mm-hmm.
And this opportune moment for me began with Vatican II.
Mm.
We didn't pay attention. Mm-hmm. He's bringing it back. It was the Holy Spirit that spoke. And unless we pay attention to what the Holy Spirit is saying, we're going to do the same thing.
So we will come back and continue our conversation on the Cinco Encuentro Quinto Encuentro when we come back after the break.
Yeah.
We invite you to watch Catholic Chicago this weekend, featuring a conversation with Cardinal Blaise Cupich and video highlights from across the Archdiocese. Here's host Todd Williamson.
We'll join young adults as they take to the streets of Chicago to feed the hungry. We'll take you to the Via Crucis and Peace Walk in the Brighton Park neighborhood. And we'll talk to Cardinal Blaise Supich about the Pope's newly released apostolic exhortation on holiness.
Watch Catholic Chicago Friday at 7 p.m. on Chicago Loop Cable, Channel 25, and Sunday afternoon at 3 on the Comcast Network, Channel 100.
I'm Rochelle, Activities Aide at Catholic Charities St. Albie Adult Day Center. I'm often told we light up seniors' lives each day they come to us, but they do the same for us. One shy man even opened up after coming to our Adult Day Center and started a writing group. Being Chicago's Good Samaritan means helping someone be somebody and giving hope and meaning to life at any age. Care to help? Visit CatholicCharities.net.
Welcome back to A Mission of Love. This is Beth White, your host, with Jen Delvaux, my co-host here. This is a show from the Office for Evangelization and Missionary Discipleship. Our guests this morning are Sister Dominga Zapata and Elizabeth Roman, who have been heading up our Quinto Encuentro process here in the Archdiocese. So, Sister, we were just talking about the ways in which it's aligned. So we only have, you're only with us a short time longer. What would you like for our listeners to know about the Quinto Encuentro and its outcomes, and what we can, you know, what would you like people to know about what they can expect from this?
Well, from my perspective, what I see that the Quinto Encuentro and what the Hispanic community can contribute to the larger church is the focus on mission, going out. The Pope Francis tells us, to renew my church has to be a church that goes out. Iglesia en salida, church that goes out. In order to go out, you have to have something to offer. So that means we have to begin at home.
Right.
We have to begin with the domestic church. We have to begin with inspiring our young people. And we have to be a welcoming community. The Pope Francis also say our doors should be always open for everybody.
In evangelization, Jen and I talk a lot about creating a culture of evangelization in which that's our dream, is in which people feel welcome and a sense of belonging no matter where they're at in their journey. And you said a community of communities. What does that look like in your dream world in a parish that has people from all different? Because it used to be, there'd be the Polish church, there'd be the Croatian church. What does that look like now with this very diverse church that
and,
we have?
And that's good, because you see, the process of Encuentro for the Hispanic began when we still had national churches. And the Hispanic, we refused to have a national church for
us. Right.
And so the process...
Oh, so the goal was to become integrated.
It's integrated, and shortly after the first Encuentro, which was in 72, shortly the Conference of Bishops did away from the national. Here in Chicago, we had a great experience, because what is called now Pilsen and Little Village, that was all national churches in there. You could not go to, across the street there was another church, you could not go there, because that was for the Croatian, that was for the Irish, that was for the Italian, that was, you know. And so... Cardinal Cody organized and called forth a team, which I was part of it, to go. We moved and lived in Pilsen area and with a little village to integrate, to begin to integrate the Hispanic into all these parishes. So community of communities is that when we gather on Sunday, and periodically, on every Sunday, we might gather, you know, Spanish Mass, Polish, whatever the language. But then periodically, the parish should gather all the communities. Visibly, we have to see that we are a community of communities. We are not the church of the Hispanic or the Polish or the English-speaking, you know. So how could we work in that? And that gives the possibility that everybody could build their own identity, but always looking as an ecclesial.
Right.
Not, you know, the church is not defined by culture. Culture needs to be evangelized.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to give the possibility for each culture to see what is it that we need to evangelize in our culture so that we offer the best and we integrate the best, not what we don't want. We don't want to integrate the garbage, you know. We want to integrate our goodness. And the Hispanic, that's why we emphasize family, young people, because the three great values of the Hispanic community is community, family, and the respect for the elderly and the children.
Mm-hmm.
And so today, all those values, the church and the world needs them. So if we call focus, that the community's focus on mission, why do we exist?
Mm-hmm.
To be happy and sing our songs on Sunday and warm up? To listen to a great preaching? No. It's to be nourished so that we can go out
and build the kingdom.
Yeah, sometimes we forget it by the time we get to the parking lot.
Yeah.
You know, I want to get first and all of those kind of things. So I think this is the moment. This is the opportune moment.
Mm.
Could we maximize that? Could we maximize that and don't build on Babel? Pentecost is coming soon. We should build on Pentecost.
Right. So we certainly can offer prayers for your process because there's only a certain number of delegates that are going to the regional and to the national. So
yes.
When again is it? The regional is in early June, and then when is the national?
September 20th to the 23rd.
And national. That's where your voices are heard. And then from that, Cardinal Supich bishops will then have heard everybody in the United States and then come up with a master plan. Is that how it works?
Mm-hmm. It comes down.
Yeah.
And then we'll integrate into our Renew My Church process.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. From the national level, it comes is the vision.
Oh, okay.
Then you take that vision and apply it to the reality of your local level.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. And then we'll apply it to our 7 signs of vitality.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Excellent.
Yeah. And then we add, you know, what the Hispanic community add to the model of church that we want to renew. It's what we already have been verbalized, what we verbalized in 1988 and in 1985.
Amazing. That's amazing. You know, when you just
community
the church,
first, missionary, right. You know, this is not the first time that we talk about evangelization and mission.
Well, we're hoping that maybe we'll catch on this time, right?
Yes.
Well, and it's a priority of our diocese. I think sometimes things become... It doesn't become a focus until it's necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And I think now we're being told it's necessary.
Yeah, so. And I think that the Archdiocese is posing the same questions, you know, for Renew My Church.
Perfect. Well, thank you both for coming in this morning and sharing with us your very exciting journey. Look forward to hearing more about the outcomes down the road. So thank you both.
Yeah,
up next, we are going to be speaking with a spiritual director and all about prayer and spiritual direction. Continue to join us on A Mission of Love.
Ever think of donating your car? You can donate a car that you no longer need to Catholic Charities. The donation will help needy people throughout Cook and Lake Counties. Donating your car is easy. Call us at 877-786-GIVE from anywhere in the country. That's 877-786-4483. Pickup is free. We do the paperwork and you get a tax deduction. Catholic Charities accepts cars, trucks, vans, motorcycles, or boats in almost any condition. No need to pay hefty repair bills. Avoid the hassle of selling. Calls taken 7 days a week at 877-786-GIVE. That's 877-786-4483. Or go online to CatholicCharities.net.
What does the gift of hope look like? It's an abandoned young woman with 2 young children searching for help. I'm Maggie at Catholic Charities Housing Services. As we worked with her, she blossomed before our eyes. She wrote a book, married, and often returned to say hello. You see, we believed in her. And she trusted us because, for us, this isn't just a job. It's a calling to be Chicago's Good Samaritan. Care to help? Visit CatholicCharities.net.
The Cemetery Ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection. There are 44 Archdiocese of Chicago Catholic cemeteries willing to help you in your time of loss. Call 708-449-6100 or visit CatholicCemeteriesChicago.org. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
You're listening to Catholic Chicago on WNDZ 750 AM. Every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, events, and issues that touch our lives. Thanks for letting us be part of your morning. Now again, Catholic Chicago.
Welcome back to A Mission of Love. This is Beth White, your host, with Jen Davo, my co-host. We have up next Dr. Mary Amore. Dr. Amore is the executive director of Mays Lake Ministries. Welcome, Mary.
Well, hi, Beth. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So we were just talking about the Quinto Encuentro and its evangelization, and now we're going to shift gears and talk a little bit about prayer and spiritual direction. So thank you for joining us.
It's my pleasure.
So last month we had a conversation with a couple folks about the apostolic exhortation on holiness. And we were just talking, and it came up about people keep referring to the fact that Pope Francis is clearly a spiritual director. So, and that came up in our conversation with one of our guests last month, and we just thought it would be great to bring someone in who was a spiritual director and just get a sense of having a conversation, because that seems like a foreign term for people. So,
you know, it's funny that you mentioned that. I remember, Beth, first of all, I want our listeners to know that Mays Lake Ministries has 26 spiritual directors on staff to help them on their walk with Christ. But you know what? I think a lot of people, I know myself, I was born and raised a Catholic, and, you know, it wasn't until I was a wife and a mom that, you know, I started showing up at Mass all the time praying for my kids. And this priest said to me, he goes, I think you should go to spiritual direction. I go, what is that? And isn't that just something for priests and nuns? You know, because I think people have a misconception of what it is. But spiritual direction is really the greatest gift you could give your own spiritual life, because unlike what the term says, direction, it's not someone else telling you what to do.
So, Mary, explain to us what it looks like a spiritual director. And you know, people think sometimes, well, it's no different than a therapist or something. So tell us what it looks like, a spiritual director.
Sure. You know what? Within a spiritual direction session, you know, you come as you are. You come with all of your doubts or your crosses in life, and the spiritual director helps you find God right there in the midst of it, in the midst of your messy life, in the midst of your doubts and or your indecisiveness. You know, what should I do? You know, they help you discern the movement of the Spirit, because God is always with us. You know, he tells us, I am with you till the end of time. I will not leave you orphans. So, you know, the Spirit of Christ is in every event that we could ever encounter in our life. And I think a lot of people think that, oh, you know, when life is bad or life is hard for me, that, you know, that God is not there. God is really there. And so a spiritual director really can help you hold on, can help you gain hope, can new clarity into how you are to move through this difficult time into a new Paschal mystery moment, a new life experience. So they really are, it's just a wonderful way to deepen your walk with Christ.
So sometimes people, they will use the term coincidence. That was such a coincidence. And I've run across that in my life, and I kind of, because I've had a spiritual director for years, I cringe because I'm like, that's not a coincidence.
No.
And so my pastor even said, people of prayer do not believe in coincidences.
No.
So how does that work? How does a spiritual director help you see? Can you give an example of a way in which a person can see how the Spirit is moving in their lives?
Well, I my own personality, I like to call them candy kisses from God, those coincidences, because it's when God, his presence, his activity in your life is so clear that, you know, as your pastor said, people of prayer, there are no coincidences. And so a spiritual director, again, sitting in confidence, it's like a spiritual direction session lasts an hour or so. I mean, but, you know, if 60 minutes are up and you're in the middle of, you know, sharing your heart, they don't wear a watch, okay? So mm-hmm. I just want people to know that. It's really a heart-to-heart experience. But in the midst of that, sharing your story, because everybody's story is sacred, as a spiritual director, as someone who is skilled in the art of sacred listening,
mm-hmm.
They can, you know, say, oh, my gosh, don't you understand that God was here? You know, I can share something from my own life. Because, again, everything that's shared within a spiritual direction session is confidential.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when I was younger, a young adult, my dad was coming out of church at St. Eulalia Parish in Maywood, and he got run over and left for dead, hit and run.
Gosh.
Oh, it's a terrible accident. And so they took him to Loyola Hospital, and I remember being so angry at God,
right.
Thinking, oh, he just came out of church. How could this happen?
Right.
Well, through his, you know, checking out his broken legs, and they discover that he had an aneurysm in his heart. That was ready to go in any given moment.
Wow.
And so through that accident, they did open heart surgery, obviously, and, you know, and he lived another 20 years. Had that not happened to him, you know, and so a spiritual director was able to have me look at that situation, which I thought was absolutely appalling. How could that happen to him? And see it as really a gift, because it gave him the gift of 20 more years, because they were able to discover that heart within that heart problem within that situation.
That never would have been found otherwise.
Never would have been found.
Wow.
They said it would have probably blown out his heart and he would have dropped dead.
Right.
Probably went by doing the lawn the next summer.
Wow.
So that, you know, that's how spiritual directors, they can take a situation in life that has maybe made your heart like stone.
Right.
And they can help you realize, no, God was there. God is there. God is here now. So it's just a wonderful gift and it's something you give yourself. You know, if someone tells you to go for spiritual direction, I mean, you could go, but it's when you feel that yearning. God is calling you. You know, he's calling all of us to a deeper heart-centered relationship.
So my first spiritual directing experience was my spiritual director was Ignatian trained.
Mm-hmm.
And what was interesting was now, I don't want our listeners to misinterpret this, but I felt different voices pulling at me, and not literal voices, but sort of being drawn in different directions.
Mm-hmm.
And a priest friend recommended they go to a spiritual director. And for me, the spiritual director then was able to help me discern which were the voices that were calling me to my fullest self. And who God wanted me to be, and the voices that were calling me in a different direction.
Sure.
And I found not voices again. But,
and I know that's a
draws.
Metaphor. I understand.
It's a metaphor.
It, right.
And I know you understand that, but I want to make sure. But that's part of it, too, is being able, if you're trying to discern between something in your life, which direction you go in. So we're going to come back in a few minutes after our break and talk a little bit more with Dr. Amore.
I send you out on a mission of love. I send you out.
On a mission of love, I send you out. On a mission of love, and know that I am with you always, until the end of the world.
Here's an important message about Catholic schools from Cardinal Blaise Supich and Loyola Ramblers chaplain Sister Jean.
Sister Jean and I have something in common, a Catholic education, and we were both educated by the sisters.
It was the best education I could ever get, based on faith, values, and respect for people of all backgrounds.
Now the sisters are passing the baton on to us to make sure that all children have a chance at Catholic school education. A new tax credit scholarship program here in Illinois offers needs-based scholarships to non-public school students. But the scholarships need to be funded.
As you know, my scouting reports are quite good, and I can tell you that donors will get a 75% state tax credit. That's a win-win for you and for students who receive the gift of a Catholic education.
To find out how to donate, go to archchicago.org. Sister Jean and I thank you for supporting our Catholic schools.
Cardinal, that's a slam dunk.
As we enter our second century of providing help and hope to anyone in need, I want to offer a special thank you to the Good Samaritans who support Catholic Charities. I'm Monsignor Mike Boland. We feed, clothe, shelter, and give job counseling to 1 million people each year. You may be of another faith or no faith, but you have faith in us. Thank you. See how you can help at CatholicCharities.net.
Have you checked out?
It's time for us to know that Jesus Christ is risen, forgives our sin, and brings us new life. I send you out.
I send you out on a mission.
Welcome back to A Mission of Love. Beth White here with Jen Dalveau.
Hello again.
Hello. And we have on the show with us this morning Dr. Mary Amore from Maize Lake Ministries, and we're just talking about spiritual direction. So just to clarify what I was talking about voices, I was trying to discern between whether or not I was trying to make a decision about I worked in public relations and whether I go that big path in public relations, but I kept feeling this call, this draw to working for the church. And I didn't understand it, and I didn't know why I was having this conflict in me. And that's when I went to a spiritual director and was able, well, and then they got me, of course.
Absolutely. There you go. God, you know, the hound of heaven.
Yes, exactly. We won't leave you alone.
Nope.
So talk to us a little bit about, you know, Jen and I talk about this fact in our office, is that for evangelization, you cannot give what you do not have. And
right.
You cannot share someone you do not know. You can share all kinds of things about Jesus, his history and all of that, but it's about the encountering of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And how does prayer and spiritual direction help you sort of encounter this mysterious God of ours?
You know, Beth, you have hit it right on the head. I think for many of us, probably lots of our viewers, you know, we've been raised with the doctrines, you know, like Baltimore Catechism, I memorized it and spit it back, and I knew about God, but I didn't know God.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can, you know, for us to evangelize and to tell someone, hey, God is merciful, you know, they're going to go, yeah, yeah. But if we can say, I know God to be merciful, and let me tell you how I experienced it.
Right.
You know, and that is what a spiritual director, that is what prayer can do for you. It can open up your heart to experiencing, again, in the midst of your own life, you can then understand that, yes, God is here. Yes, he helped me to forgive this person. Yes, he's calling me here. And then it's in the sharing of our stories with others that people then can understand the attributes of God, of forgiveness and mercy and compassion. You know, if we just leave it at the doctrinal level, it's like oil on water. We need to put it into our bones to live it. And then evangelization is so easy because it's like your song. I love that. It's a mission of love. Because we're sharing how we have experienced the love of God. And we encounter that in spiritual direction. We encounter that through a life of prayer. Because if we only show up on Mass on Sunday. It's kind of like, and never pray in between. It's kind of like showing up just for Thanksgiving dinner, you know, once a year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to be in a relationship with our host at the table.
The whole concept of sharing your story is so important. And I found that more and more when I give presentations or in front of people, I more and more am sharing stories.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it is because how many people come up to me afterward and they say, oh my gosh, your stories. And it isn't about me.
No.
It's because it helps them be able
right.
then to tell their story. And I think that that's, I mean, not to compare myself at all. Jen laughs. But, you know, that's what Jesus did. He told stories
yeah.
and parables because then you could see yourself in those stories.
Exactly.
It's brilliantly how you just said that, that's evangelization. It's mm-hmm. the sharing of the story so people can see how God is working.
Right.
And part of it is with a spiritual director or even a small faith community, this isn't about just me and Jesus, right? This is
nope.
about us. Exactly. So talk about that, because I think sometimes people get scared when you talk about personal prayer that it's me and Jesus. What is the purpose of me and Jesus time?
You know, the purpose of me and Jesus time is so that we can fall in love with God.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we're taught to love God. But if we are in love with Jesus, then our whole pattern of behavior is going to change. Because, you know, think about the person you love the most in life. Do you get up every day and say, I can't wait to hurt them? No, of course not. We do because we're human.
Mm-hmm.
But if Jesus is the person we love the most, then we're going to know what makes his heart happy without memorizing every doctrine and every, you know, commandment, you know, which can just burden people. No. Get to know the heart of Jesus, and then his words, his scripture, the Eucharist, they will guide your life.
Mm-hmm.
And getting to know the heart of Jesus comes from prayer. Prayer is just a daily conversation with God,
mm-hmm.
and you can do that anytime, anywhere. You know, at Maze, like, we've got this wonderful new program we're starting. It's called In Search of the Beloved. And it's starting in September, Beth, and it's offering people 8 different prayer experiences, because again, everybody's life is different, everybody's personality and temperament
mm-hmm.
is different. So one prayer experience is going to touch the heart of someone, while maybe a different type of personal prayer will, you know, light the fire within. So, you know, we're offering a Taizé prayer, we're offering meditative practices, Lectio Divina, Ignatian, imaginative prayer, contemplative prayer, walking the labyrinth. You know, we're discussing the fruits and gifts that come from having a personal relationship with Jesus through personal prayer. Because, again, once we have that personal connection with Jesus, it's like an email. I mean, a great email story. You know, what do? The first thing you do is hit the forward button. So once you are on fire about your love for Jesus, boom, you can't help but share it with people. And there you go. That's evangelization.
Well, absolutely, because it becomes just a part of your everyday life.
Exactly.
It's part of your story, because Jesus it's like I talk about my daughter all the time, mm-hmm. ad nauseum. And so it becomes the same sort of thing, Jen laughs, as this is a person who's integrated into your life. The other
right.
way I think it's interesting to me to think about it is that if you're married and you have a spouse and you don't ever have personal time with them and you only spend time with the kids around the table, which is like church, right?
Right.
And you don't have that personal time, that relationship isn't as deep as it could be or
right.
it should be,
mm-hmm.
right?
Exactly. You know, and so that is why, again, we need to cultivate that heart-centered relationship, and you know, once we go in search of the beloved, we're going to realize that he's already there. He's just been waiting for us. We don't really have to search.
Right.
We just have to open our heart. We don't even have to take one step. Well, maybe one step toward him, and boom, there he is, waiting for us. And it is life-changing. You know it. I know it. Jen knows it. It's transformational. And Jesus he transforms our life always for the better, you know, always to make us more like him, which is, again, more forgiving, more merciful, more compassionate. And our broken world surely needs those attributes.
So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back and talk some more with Dr. Amore from Maze Like Ministries.
Well, it's time for us to become people of spirit. It's time for us to become people of love. It's time for us,
it's time for us
to know that Jesus Christ is risen. Forgives our sin and brings us new life.
Join us every Monday through Friday at this time for Catholic Chicago. You can stream our programs live or listen to past programs by visiting our website, archchicago.org, and clicking on Radio TV. And please connect with Catholic Chicago on social media. You're listening to Catholic Chicago on WNDZ 750 AM. During the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago brings you programs about the people, events, and issues that touch our lives. Welcome to Catholic Chicago.
Baptize you in the name of the Father. I baptize you in the name of the Son. I baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Go out and spread good news.
Welcome back to A Mission of Love. This is Beth White, your host, with Jen DelVoe.
Good morning.
So we are speaking, Jen and I are talking with Dr. Amore Amore from Maze Like Ministries, and we were just talking about prayer and spiritual direction, and in particular, Mary was talking about the 8-week In Search of the Beloved Tuesday evening experiences starting September 11th through October, right,
mm-hmm. Mary? Yes.
And then your culminating event, if you were to do this every evening, included in the $275 fee, you get to go to the fall conference. And who is your guest?
Oh, Father Ronald Rollheiser. We are so honored to have him. Our fall conference is Saturday, October 27th. From 9 to noon, and we're going to hold it at St. Margaret Mary Parish in Naperville. But anybody who enrolls in this 8-week In Search of the Beloved Interior Prayer Program receives a complimentary ticket to this. Tickets are normally $65, but I do want our listeners to know that if they were to register before June 1st, we've got an early bird special of $10 off, so it would be $55. And the Archdiocese is giving continuing ed credit to any religious educator, catechists that would attend this. So, but Father, for anyone
who... The
fall
conference, you mean?
For our fall conference, correct.
Okay. Go ahead.
And Father Ronald Rollheiser, I mean, he's going to talk about, how do we pray that it actually makes a difference in our life. And anyone who's ever heard him, he doesn't really do events like this too much anymore. But we had him out at Maze Lake maybe about 8-9 years ago. So when I called him this year, I said, we've got this program In Search of the Beloved. I said, and, it's going to culminate with our fall conference. I would love for you to come. He said, Mary, I will come to Maze Lake, he said, because I really believe in the work that you do.
Wow.
So he's actually, coming kind of as a personal favor, but he is one of the greatest spiritual writers of our time.
He is.
And he's got a new book coming out, Wrestling with God, this
Ooh.
Summer. And he's gonna talk about that a little as well.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah, so yeah. Certainly tickets can be purchased at Maze Lake through our website, mazelakeministries.org, or calling our offices at 630-852-9000. We're expecting this to be sold out because he's just...
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah, without a doubt. He's phenomenal.
So jump on that, everyone.
Please.
If you're very interested, make sure you sign up early. I know that the movie release of The Pope is coming out tonight. There's a viewing with the Cardinal. and I made the mistake of waiting one day to sign up, and it was sold out. So, the announcement went out, and everyone jumped on it. So do not miss out on these opportunities, because there's the Spirit is really driving this diocese right now. It's mm-hmm. pretty exciting. So, Mary, I wondered if we could take a few steps back, and I wonder if you could just help me with something. So we have listeners that they're all different, probably walks of sort of where they are in their personal prayer life. Mm-hmm. So if you're just the basics, because this is a question that gets asked a lot, it's like, how do I pray? Like, people know how to do sort of maybe the rosary, or they know how to say the Our Father. And you and I were talking about a conversation. Where would you begin? Where does a person just begin?
You know what, I think, Beth, if you're really just, you know, like, stalled in your faith life and you just feel like it's like, you know, you believe but nothing's really moving, I just start talking to Jesus as if he were your friend. You know, I think sometimes our image of God gets in the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was raised, again, pre-Vatican II, I was raised with an image of God that was going to strike me dead with a lightning bolt if I missed Mass once and I was only 8 years old.
Wow.
So, you know, it's very hard to be in an intimate relationship with someone you're afraid of.
Mm.
So think of Jesus. There's so many images. You know, Jesus the Good Shepherd, Jesus the Prodigal Father. You know, there's so many images of Jesus as a merciful, loving person that just wants to hold your hand and be with you. And so I would really encourage our viewers, our listeners, and you to just, you know, talk to Jesus really like someone that you're really close to. You know, and if you get mad, it's okay. Don't stay there, though, and say you're sorry. But you know what? Because now I say my relationship with Jesus is so intimate, and this has taken decades of
right.
just talking to him. I say he's like the American Express card. I never leave home without him. I when someone asks me a question, I always stop for that 1 second, even now on this radio show, and say, Lord, please, come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit. And you begin to weave God into every moment of every day, even while you're making dinner. Oh, Lord, please, you know, I just ran out of salt. Help me with this recipe. There's nothing that God can't help us with. It's so, just we need to be in such a relationship with him that we ask him to help us with anything.
So, Mary, we just have like a couple minutes left, and I want to give you the ability to tell us, what about Maze Lake Ministry do our listeners need to know?
You know, they need to know that we've been around really since the 1920s. We began as the St. Francis Retreat House in Oak Brook. People might know it now as the Peabody Mansion. And in 91, when the Franciscans sold that property, Maze Lake Ministries was founded by Father Jonathan Foster as a retreat house without walls. And for 28 mm-hmm. years now, we have been taking the gospel message out. We also, not only do we do spiritual direction, but we do adult faith programs. We do parish missions. But getting back to the spiritual direction, you know, maybe some of our listeners are, you know, thinking, Downers Grove is far. You know what? We take Pope Francis's mantra to heart, and we involve technology with our ministry. So we offer spiritual direction by phone, by FaceTime, by Skype, so that if somebody can't come in physically for spiritual direction, we certainly can do it using technology.
And Mary, just to wrap up, they can just go to your website as
right,
well.
Right,
and
Maze Lake Ministries, MINISTRIES.org. And you can find all of our information on our website.
Well, thank you so much for your time this morning. We appreciate it. And blessings for your fall adventures.
Thank you, Beth. Hope to see you and Jen there.
Thank you. So we thank you to our listeners, and we just ask you to go out and spread the good news.
Join us every Monday through Friday at this time for Catholic Chicago. You can stream our programs live or listen to past programs by visiting our website, archchicago.org, and clicking on Radio TV. And please connect with Catholic Chicago on social media.
Until the end of the world. Until